from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. Unless an individual is either very sick or in a lot of pain and already resigned to die, when most people discover they're going to die, they will invariably feel as if their death is premature. When death comes sooner than we had imagined for ourselves, most people decide that this ending is not what God had planned for our lives. If people think their impending death is cheating them out of a longer life, as we almost always do, they quickly become despondent and begin to believe that God has somehow lost control over their earthly destiny. They will begin to view death as something very random and arbitrary, not at all in line with God's will, simply because they did not will their own death or want it for themselves. The only other option is that a dying person will have a crisis of faith. Because they consider their death premature, they also will consider it proof that God must somehow be punishing them for some particular sin in their lives. In any event, it's hard to convince a person who is dying that anything good can come from that death. And yet our Heavenly Father in Christ is so merciful and so mighty that He is able to bring forth good and right even from something as evil and wrong as our death. We need only to view the events of the cross from the perspective of faith to see that this is possible. For God once used the cross, a barbaric instrument of torture and slow death invented by the Romans purely to intimidate, and God turned that into the source of redemption and eternal life and salvation for all who believe in what the Son of God accomplished upon it. Those who are mature in Christ are able to see how God on the cross did the greatest thing ever when He restored life to us by His death. While evil men conspired to nail the Son of God to the cross for their own evil purposes, the Son of God Himself submitted to that same crucifixion, and there He suffered for our eternal good. In the same way, our Lord used His trial before Pontius Pilate as an opportunity to testify that He was the saving truth about God revealed. Actually, not in the Gospel of John, but in other Gospels, Jesus made a good and clear confession regarding Himself and His mission to save the world while He was on trial for crimes punishable by death. Notice that Jesus did not balk at His death or beg for His life as He stood before Pilate, the Roman governor. Even though Jesus was in no way deserving of death, still our Lord very humbly and obediently accepted the death sentence as God's will for His life. As Christians, you and I can follow in the footsteps of Jesus by using our own death as the opportunity that God has given us to confess our hope in Christ. This is what the Apostle Paul had in mind when he told his young friend, Pastor Timothy, to make the good confession as Jesus had done before Pilate. Now, in the biblical context, Timothy wasn't going to do this while on his deathbed. Yet Paul and his encouraging of Timothy to follow in the footsteps of Jesus by confessing Christ along with the Christian faith really can be seen in any context. For Timothy, it was as Timothy was persecuted or might stand trial for his faith. However, whether you are facing the prospect of dying because of persecution for confessing the name of Jesus, or because you have cancer in its final stages, and it is ravaging your body, the principle is still the same. As those who believe in Jesus, we are to stand our ground and not back down from rejoicing in Christ and confessing Jesus as our Savior, even when we are dying. For as Christians, you and I have the unique glory and joy of confessing Christ while dying, just as much as we can by our living. You see, death affords us this unique opportunity to share Jesus with those gathered around us, those who may be grieving for us or for our family. We do this by joyfully confessing Christ as our rock and our Redeemer, even as we are facing the prospect of dying. The Bible says, "Give thanks in all things, for this is the will of God concerning you." When a Christian sees his or her death as the will of God and can humbly accept his or her own death as God's will for their life, that onlooking Christian will be built up in their faith. Whenever we see a Christian who perseveres in the faith, even amid great physical suffering, or even as his or her own death draws near, isn't it so uplifting and reassuring to see that faith in others? In fact, many might be brought to faith in Jesus through your witness while dying, while others will surely be strengthened in their faith. For those Christians who are observing all of this will be reassured. They will be reassured that God can get them through their own death, that God can give each Christian a heroic faith when their last hour on this earth comes. Now, throughout this Lenten series, we've been talking about how a Christian faces death confidently in Christ, having that spirit-engendered peace that passes all understanding. Many people think that preparing for death is a very private time in their lives, and that it is their own personal opportunity to get right with God. And it can be that, but as Christians, we should already know that we are right with God. For hopefully, you have already been living your life by faith in the Son of God, who loved you and who gave himself for you. And so hopefully, you already rejoice in the hope that is stored up for you in Christ. Now, it's true that as strong as our faith may be, it remains imperfect. Our faith will still be mixed with some measure of fear. And yet, our core and foundational belief as Christians is that by his life and death, we are justified by faith, and we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, having already been made right with God by what he accomplished on the cross, you can serve your neighbor even in your death. Your confident faith and hope in Jesus, in the face of your own death, can serve others without faith, and even those whose faith may be wavering. Consider the alternative. Let's pretend for a moment that we are at the bedside of a dying Christian who keeps repeating over and over again, "I don't want to die. I'm not ready to die. Why did God abandon me and let me die when I still have so much in life that I wanted to see and do?" Will you walk away from that room encouraged in your own faith after visiting that person on their deathbed who is obviously terrified by death, who has made no confession for Christ and continually is questioning God's faithfulness? Of course you won't. Now imagine a visit to a terminally ill Christian friend, let's say on the next floor of the hospital. This person remains confident in Christ and thankful to God, even amid the misery and the suffering that he or she faces. That person is very open and frank with you about their fears over the unknown aspects of death, about their aches and pains, and their apprehensions of leaving their family and friends behind. And yet they remain confident that even though the wages of sin is death, that the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. They use this occasion of your visit to minister to you, to remind you, the one that came to comfort them, to rely on Jesus throughout your lifetime, in life and in death. And when you see this and begin to shed a tear, they remind you that you and they will embrace one another again at the resurrection at the last day. And so how do you feel upon leaving that Christian's hospital room? Let's say that both of these people are Christians, one very weak and one strong. Both die soon after your visit and both go to heaven. And yet, which used their dying hour as an opportunity to build others up in Christ? Which one inspired you to want to live the Christian life? Which one assured you that faith in Christ is real and alive when the rubber hits the road? Which of the two dying people do you someday want to be when you are terminally ill and in that situation? Without Christ, life is pointless, and death certainly is senseless and seems pointless. Death is tragic. There's no covering it up. And yet the death of Jesus, the Son of God, as he offers up his innocent life to atone for our very guilty lives, is such a beautiful thing. If we confess our great God and Savior Jesus Christ in order to build up the faith of others, even to our dying day, my friends, this too is a beautiful thing, a very Christ-like thing to do. And death no longer needs to be pointless. When a Christian begins to see how God can use the occasion of our own death to give us that last opportunity to point those we love to Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life. Now, it was said, as the world tried to exterminate Christianity, that in the first 3 centuries, the church was watered and grew and flourished by the blood of the martyrs. Those who used the occasion of their persecution and death to confess Jesus and the saving truth of God's word, just as Paul tells Timothy that Jesus made the good confession before Pontius Pilate. You know, as others witnessed happily as they were martyred to die for Jesus, it caused even their persecutors to change their minds and to want to become Christians and live for this Jesus who had died for them. You do not have to die for nothing. Your death can mean something as you witness to the love of Christ like the martyrs witnessed to his love at the time of their own death. Pray to God. Ask God to give you that heroic faith that is able to joyfully confess his Son even in our final hour, and ask the Father to give someone you know new life in Christ as they observe the way you die in Christ. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes our limited understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.